How about that for an old tune with some new words? Will you please pray with me? O Lord, be with us in this time. Guide our thoughts and the conversations of our hearts to your glory. Amen. That's right. God is in this place. Some of you have been a part of our administrative meetings. Some of you have been a part of things where we have started the meeting off with God sightings. We ask the question of our people who lead here, where have you seen God at work since last we joined together? And so I wonder, where have you seen God at work? Have you thought about that? Where has God met you this week? Where has God shown up this week? Where have you experienced God's presence since last we met? Now, I'm not going to ask you to talk about that right now, but it's a question I hope is on all of your hearts. Where is God in my life? Where has God shown up? Where have I needed God to show up? And I'm still waiting. Where wasn't I expecting God to show up and God was there? These are the questions we ask, the questions we need to be thinking about as God's people. This is the question that was on Naaman's heart. You see, Naaman, like I just told the children, was a general in the armies of Assyria, the enemy of Israel. And Naaman had a skin problem. Maybe he had eczema. Maybe he had psoriasis. Maybe he had something going on that we don't have a name for. But in the old world, they called it leprosy. And that meant he had some limitations on what he was able to do. He was a famous general, powerful, and people followed him all over the world. Well, the world as far as they knew it. And yet he couldn't be in relationship with people the way he would have had he been whole and free from leprosy. His wife knew this, and his wife's servant heard about it and said, "You know, there's a God in where I come from who can heal you. There's a man of God you can go and talk to." And Naaman went on medical renewal leave from the army in Assyria and went over to the enemy in the lands of his enemy and said, "I hear there's a God here that can hear me." And he went to the holy man. He went to Elisha. And Elisha said, "Go dip yourself." Actually, Elisha sent out a messenger. He didn't even show up to talk to this great general, which was a big controversy at the time. You can read about that later. But the general went and did what Elisha's messenger told him to do, and he was healed. He experienced God in healing of his flesh. And he went back to the man of God and said, "Let me give you the treasures, all the royalty that I brought. Let me give to you these things that I would like to give you because God has healed me." And what Kathy read earlier is that he experienced God in such a way. He said, "I know there is a God in Israel and there is no God like him. But I have to go back to my own country. My medical leave is almost done and I need to get paid. I have to go back to work, and part of my job is to go with the king into the king's temple of a foreign land. And when he goes in there, may the God who is have mercy on me. I will always worship the God of Israel, but I may have to go into another temple sometime." Naaman's life was transformed, and Naaman, an enemy of Israel, became a follower of the God of Israel. And if you're reading 1 and 2 Kings, you realize he was a better follower of the God of Israel than most of Israel's kings were. Naaman's life was transformed by an encounter with God. Forever transformed. And I think it's kind of ironic that it's raining like this, because his life was transformed by dipping in a river, which is similar to baptism. So let's remember our baptism And hopefully the rain will go away. But if it isn't, we can remember our baptism when we go home today. Another person that Kathy read about is from the book of Acts. A man who made a living persecuting Christians, who were called the Way at that time. This man's name was Saul. And he went around capturing Christians, dragging them back to Jerusalem so they could be put on trial. And on his way to a city called Damascus, he experienced God. Something happened to him, and he was blind. And he found his way into the city, and God had sent somebody else there who lived in that city to meet him. And this person, Ananias, said, "I'm not going to go meet that Saul. He's the one who captures your followers, beats them, and drags them back to Jerusalem." But God sent him anyway, and eventually he went. And because this person, Ananias, met Saul, who experienced God, Saul's life was transformed and changed. His sight was restored. And because of that, we had a missionary who went throughout the Roman Empire and the Mediterranean Sea, and we have most of our New Testament. Because someone's life was transformed. Each of these people went about and told their stories. Stories of what God had done in their life. Stories of who God was in their experience. And what that means. You want to know what God did in Paul's life? Because Saul changed his name to Paul when his identity changed in Christ. Read the letters in your New Testament, and you'll hear again and again how God transformed Paul's life and who Paul experienced God to be. He knows the story he's telling. It's his story. And in this sermon series that we're doing on our story and how we share our story with other people, last week we talked a little bit about what it means to be sent. We are a sent people. And we are sent to everyone in the community. We're sent to everyone we meet. Whether it's at work or at play. Or in our neighborhood. With that neighbor we really don't want to talk to. We are a sent people. And if we're sent, we need to know the story that God is sending us with, right? We need to know the message. What good is being a messenger without understanding the message a little bit? And it comes from that question, where is God at work? Where have you seen God lately? Because the message is simple. God has done something in your life. And that's the message. What has God done? For many of us, it goes kind of like this. I was living according to my own ways, and I found out that it didn't work very well. I decided to turn my life over and try to live according to God's ways, and it's working better. It's not perfect, because I'm not perfect, but it's getting better. There's a community of people that I meet with every week. We call it the church. And we're all messed up, broken people. But we love each other. And that's what's most important. All of us love each other. We are Republicans and Democrats. And we love each other. I know, it's unbelievable. We are conservative and progressive Christians. And we love each other. Even though we don't agree on everything. Because we are a part of a community who says we are more than what we understand. We are a part of a community who loves each other and loves God. And everything else just sort of tries to fit into place with those two things. That's the story. And your story is a part of it. Your story is something that can be told to anybody because it's yours. I can't tell your story of how God has shown up for you. About how you went to the hospital because you had to have a surgery, and the care team showed up and prayed with you, and someone sat with you or your loved one. You can tell the story of how you didn't really want to go, but somebody made you go to Cafe of Life and start serving food to people you didn't know. And in doing so, you learned that God loves them and loves you. And you met somebody amazing. Maybe your story is that you grew up in a church full of people who said things that were mean and told you you were going to hell every week. And then you went to a different church and found out it wasn't about hell. It was about how much God loves you and has given you grace. I don't know your story. But it's your story. And that's what God has sent you to tell. Your story with God. I heard this when I was in seminary, and it's been true for me every time. Every time I encounter God, I begin to wonder if I was ever saved before. Maybe it's not true for you or not, but every time I encounter God and learn something new about God, I wonder if I ever really knew God in the first place or just thought I did. Let me give you an example. Growing up, I went to what I call a Methodist church. It was a Methodist church, but it had Baptist undertones. And I knew that God loved me. I knew that God loved me. And I commit my life to God when I was in eighth grade, and I knew that God loved me then. And I would tell people that God loved them unconditionally. And then I grew up, and I got married, and I learned what unconditional love really is. It's every time you screw up and that person still says, "I love you." And then I became a parent. And I learned what unconditional love is. It's every time they screw up, I still love them. And this is an ongoing revelation of God's love. I wasn't joking when I said dogs understand God's love. Every time I walk in the door, if I've been gone 30 seconds or 30 days, the dog is standing there excited to see me. God's unconditional love keeps showing up again and again and again in my life. And every time it does, I wonder if I ever understood it in the first place. God loves me, as messed up and broken as I am. As forgetful as I am. And it's true for me, and it's true for you. God loves you and wants you to be a part of a community that is focused on that love. And that's what the church is. It's a place where we find healing, whether it's emotional or physical, because we are a part of a group of people who will love us even through the darkest and most difficult parts of our lives. And your story may include some of those dark and difficult times and how the church has either walked with you through it or abandoned you in it. I've heard both of those stories from people. But the truth of the matter is, God never abandons us. No matter how dark, no matter how difficult it is. And the church is there to remind us of that fact. And the church doesn't always get that right. So today, I want you to know your story. Know where God has shown up so you can share it with somebody else. Peter, in his first letter, says, "Always be prepared to give a reason for the hope that you have." Knowing what your story is in relationship with God is always a good starting place for being prepared to give a reason for hope. You've been given a card in your bulletins. It may have fallen out. If it does, I can print off more. It has some questions on it about knowing your story. Some of these may be questions you've thought about before. Who is Jesus? Some of them may not be questions you've ever thought of before. But they're questions you need to think about as you think about your story with God, your relationship with God. And I hope you take these cards home, put them in your wallet, put them somewhere where you'll see them every now and again so you can keep thinking about these questions. And so when you sit down with somebody and you have an opportunity to share a bit about your story with God, you can do that. Now there's a little bit of advice for that. Keep it short, keep it simple. No one wants to hear your whole life story. It would take a lifetime to tell it. And none of us got that attention span. But you can tell short stories. And some of them may sound coincidental, but because we are Christians, now you may not all be Christians, but because I am a Christian and I follow God, I believe that the world operates according to certain principles. I believe that when I was here at church on an oddball day and I ran into someone who was one of the students I had been tutoring in fifth grade, he was here for a baby shower for an aunt or something, and he ran up and said hi to me and said, "Pastor CJ, you'll never believe what I'm doing in middle school." And he wanted to tell me all that he had been doing. I believe that God showed up. Because that's another connection point between him and what is going on in his life and who the church is through me. Some people may call that coincidence. I call it God. Because that's my worldview. That's how I understand how things work. I don't believe in luck. Luck doesn't come from a worldview where God exists. I believe in God's providence. And so when I say God has shown up, I believe that God truly has. I'm going to ask you to do probably the hardest thing you've ever been asked to do in church right now. Are you ready? Gird your hearts and gird your loins, because I'm going to ask you to stand up. Find somebody you haven't talked to yet today, and I know this is every introvert's nightmare. Find somebody you know enough so that you can talk to them, and just tell them why you came to church today. Because it would have been a very easy day to stay home and sleep in. Amen?
Amen?
I wanted to stay home and sleep in. Find somebody, get up, find somebody you haven't talked to yet today. You may know them, you may not. If you don't know them, introduce yourself. And tell them why you came to church today. What's your story about church on this rainy Sunday morning? Ready, go. Go.